thank you, blessing, and welcome, marvelous. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7, live from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Human Rights Watch says Zimbabwe is amongst countries that continue to narrow political space for voices critical of the government.
On the ground, the implementation of the new constitution is lacking, and therefore Zimbabweans are not enjoying the rights that are provided for in the constitution.
But Freedom House has given Zimbabwe an upgrade on its annual report, moving it up from not free to partly free.
The judiciary showed increasing independence by deciding against powerful political interests, including ruling party elites, and that resulted in a ratings improvement for Zimbabwe from not free to partly free.
And a Zimbabwean challenges the constitutionality of life imprisonment.
The law was amended in 2007 to say life means life. So if you're sentenced to life, you can rot in prison for the whole of your life. So the argument there was that it becomes disproportionate, it becomes cruel.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
International rights watchdog Human Rights Watch has released its 2016 World Report indicating that several Southern African Development Community or SADC member countries, including Zimbabwe, narrowed political space for voices critical of government in the past year. The report summarizes key human rights issues in more than 90 countries and territories worldwide. It alleges that President Robert Mugabe consolidated his grip on power and failed to introduce any meaningful human rights reforms in 2015. It further says those who criticized Mr. Mugabe or his government, including human rights defenders, civil society activists, political opponents, and outspoken street vendors, were harassed, threatened, or arbitrarily arrested by police and state security agents. The report says there was no progress towards justice for past human rights violations and political violence. Human Rights Watch senior researcher Dewa Mavinga tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the report reflects investigative work that Human Rights Watch staff undertook in 2015, usually in close partnership with human rights activists in the country in focus.
We have researchers located in various regions. For example, myself as a senior Africa researcher, I actually go into, say, Zimbabwe on the ground, work with activists and conduct what we call primary research, which means talk to victims of human rights abuses, talk to government officials and get first-hand information of what is happening. And then we compile a report on the basis of which we then engage in high-level governmental advocacy and with other global institutions like the United Nations groups.
And you seem to be indicating in your report that the human rights situation in Zimbabwe is not improving. Why is this so?
I need to qualify that to say on paper, the new May 2013 constitution is progressive. It has got an expansive Bill of Rights that offers justiciable rights for both civil and political rights on one hand, and also socioeconomic rights. So that is really a development that we must acknowledge. However, on the ground, the implementation of the new constitution is lacking, and therefore Zimbabweans are not enjoying the rights that are provided for in the constitution. And also, if you look at the politics, given the high-handed manner in which the government of President Mugabe and ZANU-PF controls the masses and represses using, you know, the security apparatus of the security forces, the police, the army and the intelligence services. That is a huge challenge. And this is why we are saying that we are moving backwards several steps in terms of human rights enjoyment in Zimbabwe.
That was human rights senior researcher Dewa Mavinga speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg in South Africa.
Responding, ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo told Blessing Zulu that Human Rights Watch must bring evidence, not just criticize.
I think really, if people have nothing to say, they should not even bother. The truth of the matter is that were busy aligning the old constitution to the new one. It's been going on for quite some time now. It's a massive exercise. And therefore, to say the government is doing nothing about it is really to whistle in a graveyard. The point is that there's no such thing. We're aligning the old constitution to the new one. And therefore, a lot of work is going on in terms of this area. And whatever abuse of human rights, be specific and tell us so that we can investigate. Okay, not just speak generally without knowing where to start. They should tell us, be specific, where are these people being violated, whatever it is.
They are alleging that, for example, those whose rights were abused in the past, they have not been compensated and nothing is being done to ensure that they live a normal life.
Be specific about them. Who are they? Give us a list and tell us who was not compensated if there was any violation. Give us all those. We want to be factual. We don't want to be rumor mongers.
They are pointing to the alleged victims of political violence, for example, that happened in 2008.
Where's the list?
With the police, I understand, because I think some were alleging that they reported the cases to the police and nothing was done.
Well, if they reported it, made to the police without any list of their own, it means they're not serious. You report to the police, but you must have your own list.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
We have just received news that Zimbabwe's High Court has dismissed with cost Prosecutor General Johannes Tomane's move to press charges of defeating the course of justice being laid against human rights activist Beatrice Mutetwa. Mutetwa was acquitted of this case in 2013 after she was accused of trying to protect human rights defenders using alleged unorthodox means. We spoke to Mutetwa earlier on about the issue.
Our findings for Zimbabwe for Freedom in the World 2016 showed that it made some slight improvements in the civil liberties category, but that in general the country continued to struggle with things such as internal factionalization in both its ruling party and main opposition parties, violence against journalists and civil society defenders and political opponents of the ZANU-PF, and some issues continuing with the media in general. We did improve Zimbabwe's status from not free to partly free.
And can you expound on that?
We noted improvements for...
We apologize for that mishap. We now go to the tape with Beatrice Mutetwa. We spoke to her earlier on.
Yeah, I'm quite relieved that I can now just do my work without this thing hanging over my head. And I'm just hoping that this result will help make the prosecuting authorities understand that really going after human rights defenders for no other reason than that they are doing their job simply does not accord with how the court perceives things and what the Constitution expects of them. So I'm hoping that it will help curb this attitude of using a prosecution for persecution purposes.
So do you think that this ruling will bring back confidence in rulings that will be done by the justice system?
You know, the High Court has always been my savior when it came to all of this harassment. If you recall, it was the High Court that gave me bail after the Magistrates Court had declined to grant me bail. So I'm hoping that this will help the authorities understand that while they might be able to compromise people in the lower court, the Superior Court will always make sure that justice is done at the end of the day.
That was human rights lawyer Beatrice Mutetwa speaking with us from Harare.
In another development, Freedom House has given Zimbabwe an upgrade on its annual report, moving it up from not free to partly free. The report, titled Freedom in the World 2016, based the score on improvements in Category D, freedom of expression and belief as it affects travel and religion, and Category F, rule of law, as it relates to the independence of the judiciary. Freedom House Director of Media Freedom and World Freedom, Jennifer Dunham, however, says the upgrade is not an endorsement of the government, nor an indication of lack of concern around increased harassment and violence on media, political parties, including ZANU-PF's factionalism and other issues.
Our findings for Zimbabwe for Freedom in the World 2016 showed that it made some slight improvements in the civil liberties category, but that in general the country continued to struggle with things such as internal factionalization in both its ruling party and main opposition parties, violence against journalists and civil society defenders and political opponents of the ZANU-PF, and some issues continuing with the media in general. We did improve Zimbabwe's status from not free to partly free.
And can you expound on that?
We noted improvements for civil liberties, especially in the realm of the judiciary, where the judiciary showed increasing independence by deciding against powerful political interests, including ruling party elites, and that resulted in a ratings improvement for Zimbabwe from not free to partly free.
Now, moving a country like Zimbabwe from not free to partly free, what exactly does that mean? And what message does it send to the Zimbabwean government, for instance, versus civil society or human rights activists who are raising alarm about so many violations taking place?
Well, I think the message that just because it crossed the threshold to partly free does not mean that we're not concerned about the very real violations that are going on in Zimbabwe right now. And this is by no means an endorsement of the government. Our report measures not just a grade of the government, but really a measure of freedom on the ground in the country. The specific indicators where Zimbabwe improved would be in the F rule of law category and in the freedom of expression category. But the freedom of expression category applies to not just the media, but things like freedom of religion, academic freedom, free and private discussion, freedom to travel and move freely around the country, things like that. So we have several indicators in there that don't directly apply to the government. You know, this does not mean that we're saying that all the problems are solved in Zimbabwe. That's certainly not the case.
A director of research, Jennifer Dunham, for Freedom in the World and Freedom of the Press at Freedom House. She spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Nwakalele. For the full interview, please visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com.
Meanwhile, Transparency International has once again ranked Zimbabwe among the most corrupt countries in the world, coming in at number 150 out of 167 assessed nations. In Africa, Botswana leads as the least corrupt, but the corruption watchdog had a not-so-fancy assessment for the continent's two leading economies, South Africa and Nigeria, saying they showed no improvement in fighting the scourge. On the global stage, Denmark leads the pack as the least corrupt nation. People's Democratic Party official Fortune Mlalazi tells reporter Mtunga Milinkomo it's unacceptable that great continues unabated in Zimbabwe.
This is not surprising that we are in the top of the list because we all know it is an open secret that the foundations of our government is corruption. Corruption that stems from the electoral fraud that we have seen over the years that spreads to all arms of government, the parastatals and even private companies have become corrupt because it starts from the head of state himself who steals the vote. So it's not surprising.
What impact would you say corruption is having on the country?
Well, this has had a serious impact. You see, it is affecting all the citizens. As you would see that we are ranked one of the second poorest country in the world. Not because we don't have resources, but we have resources and the resources have been plundered. We have our children who are starving at school, whose parents cannot pay fees. Those are some of the impacts that we have. We have generally a citizen who is now an embarrassment in the world, simply because of this corruption by the government.
That was People's Democratic Party official Fortune Mlalazi speaking with Studio 7's Tunga Milinkomo.
A Zimbabwean has filed a case in the Constitutional Court challenging the constitutionality of life imprisonment. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The Constitutional Court of Appeal today heard an application filed by Obadiah Makoni, who was convicted for murder and sentenced to life imprisonment in 1995 and now wants his sentence to be declared unconstitutional. In his application, Makoni's attorney, Tendai Biti, told the court that sentencing a person to life in jail violates the United Nations Convention Against Torture, Inhuman and Degrading Treatment, as well as some sections of Zimbabwe's constitution.
The law was amended in 2007 to say life means life. So if you're sentenced to life, you can rot in prison for the whole of your life. So the argument there was that it becomes disproportionate, it becomes cruel. And therefore, in breach of the Section 53 of the Constitution and Section 51 of the Constitution, and that we must follow international standards, which is why I referred to a lot of law from all over the world, the Caribbeans, the European Court of Human Rights and Justice, Mauritius, Namibia, Brussels.
Biti said the Zimbabwean legal system did not provide for an independent review mechanism for those who would have been sentenced to life imprisonment, unlike in other countries where there is a judicial review of a prisoner's case after 15 years. But prosecutor Mike Chimombe opposed the application, saying Zimbabwean law does not have a provision to review life sentences. He said the constitutional provision for a presidential pardon was enough to cater for such review under the circumstances. Chimombe said several prisoners who had been jailed for life were released following presidential pardons, but this was challenged by BT. He demanded that the state should give statistics, to which the prosecutor failed. BT said presidential clemency alone was not enough and the president should not be given a leeway to determine how individual rights should be respected, arguing this was open to abuse.
We are basically saying that the issue of people's rights cannot be left to what one judge, Justice Mohamed, stated in a famous Namibian case. They cannot be left to the capriciousness of executive indulgence and executive discretion. It is the role of judges and courts to protect and assert people's rights. So executive clemency, defined and given in Section 112 of the Zimbabwean Constitution, is absolutely meaningless. And by the way, it is also applied very selectively.
BT added that his client now wants to be immediately released from prison, arguing that his rights were violated through his long detention in conditions that are inhuman. Chimombe, who said prison conditions were in a fair state, opposed Makoni's application for immediate release. Chief Justice Godfrey Chijikausiku and his bench reserved judgment indefinitely. Several people were sentenced to life in jail after being convicted of various offenses, but Studio 7 could not establish the exact number. BT recently helped two women, Ruvimbo Tsopodzwa and Loveless Mudzuru, to challenge the constitutionality of early child marriages. The Constitutional Court outlawed child marriages, decreeing that any person who intends to get married should be at least 18 years of age. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Now a look at regional and international news.
The United States and China agreed today to work together to ensure that North Korea ends its nuclear weapon program, but high-level talks in Beijing indicated the two sides disagree on whether and what sort of sanctions to use against Pyongyang following its underground nuclear test 3 weeks ago.
Former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders are locked in a tight Democratic presidential nomination contest in Iowa, the latest survey in the farm state showed today.
Donald Trump, the leading Republican contender in the 2016 U.S. presidential race, says he is boycotting the last candidate's debate before next week's first election contest in the farm state of Iowa.
And suicide bombers have killed at least 10 people in Chibok, the Nigerian town where Boko Haram kidnapped more than 200 schoolgirls nearly 2 years ago.
Winter storm Jonas hit many states in the east coast of the United States at the weekend, dumping between 80 and 100 centimeters of snow in the process. Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., were not spared from gushing winds and heavy snow that left a trail of destruction. More than 31 people were reported dead as a result of the mammoth storm, while thousands of flights were canceled. The snowstorm affected about 85 million people. Among those exposed to the natural disaster were some Zimbabweans based in the affected states. In our diaspora segment today, we caught up with Zimbabwean teacher Jonah Masia, who lives in Inwood, West Virginia, with his family. Masia says they are still digging out their cars after they were buried by close to 100 centimeters of snow, while schools in his area remain closed until Monday next week.
My neighboring town, which is Shepherdstown, West Virginia, recorded 40 inches of snow, which is highest in the United States. It's a tough situation. We have not been able to go out of our houses or go to work for almost 5 days now. And our cars are covered. Most of the places, roads and everything, you can't drive. So it's really tough in here. It's freezing. The kids can't go out. It's a tough situation.
How did you manage to survive all this?
We just paid attention to the warnings that the local authorities gave us. So we managed to buy the shovels. We managed to buy the salt we used to melt the snow. We also managed to buy food enough to survive for at least a week before you go to buy anything. And above all, you know, we were just careful that we don't go outside.
How are you keeping yourselves warm inside your houses?
For me and my family, we are always having the fireplace on, and we also have the central heating on, so it's quite warm. And I understand that that's the same situation with other neighbors too. They always have to have the fireplace on and the heating system on. Thankfully, we didn't lose our power, so everything is working well, and we can't complain. We have survived. We really appreciate what God and everything and the authorities here have done for us.
You talked of cars buried or getting buried by this snow. How then are you digging them out?
Three things. We are taking our time to use the shovels. These are special shovels just for snow. They're really large. Taking our time digging them out. And they're also the snow blowers, the tractors that they use here. So we have had to buy those and dig the cars out and dig the driveways out and clear the roads so that we can be able to go and buy something to the grocery stores or now starting to go to work. And also just the neighbors have been helpful. You know, they come and they plow snow out with the machine. So it has been quite some effort.
Any deaths or injuries recorded in your area?
No, not in my area. But as I was driving to work today, I saw a couple of cars slid in snow, like big trucks covered in snow by the roadside. And small cars that, you know, they've gone off the road and shows that there's been some accidents. But I haven't heard of any death in our area, thankfully.
That was Zimbabwean teacher Jonah Masia of Inwood in West Virginia here in America on the phone with Studio 7. Another Zimbabwean, Phithizela Nkobo, who is also a school teacher in Maryland, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube digging the snow reminded him of his childhood in Cholocho, Matabeleland North Province, where he used to collect organic manure for crop cultivation.
The winter snowstorm has been interesting this year. I mean, we have had snow before, but this one was one of the massive ones. I remember last week on Wednesday, it wasn't that much, but the roads were not yet treated, and I was coming from work. And the cars were skidding. There were so many accidents everywhere. And I remember also driving, just scraping on my steering wheel at a very slow speed because it was kind of dangerous. And then the snow came on Friday all the way up to Sunday, and there were piles and heaps and piles everywhere. That has grounded so much, into halt. Up to now, schools are not yet opened, and children are not yet at school. And we're not yet sure when we're going to open.
When you make some reflections about some of these issues, you know, does it remind you of Zimbabwe in any way?
Yes. Although in Zimbabwe, of course, we didn't have snow, but one thing that I remembered is shoveling snow. And I've been doing that, it was especially on Sunday and Monday. And growing up back home in Cholocho, we used to shovel car manure from the crawl into the fields. And so it reminded me of that experience. And, you know, it was so interesting, looking back, a bit of a nostalgia, missing home, but also realizing that different skills can be transferred from one environment into the other.
And we know that some Zimbabweans are concerned about your safety.
Obviously, it's true. People are concerned about our safety. One, safety because it's colder than, what we used to experience home. And secondly, people now get to realize that when there is snow, the roads are very, very slippery. So both cars and even just walking as a person is a bit dangerous. So obviously, I would like to say when we venture out there, we have to make sure that we're dressed. You put on a shoe that kind of has some grip that can, provide you some support and balance, as opposed to slippers and other, type of shoes which have less slippery. So I would assure people that we're trying our best to make sure that we're safe. We're trying to keep warm by, dressing in layers and layers, and also where possible, just avoiding to go outside for no particular reason.
That was Phithizela Ncobo, a school teacher in Maryland, USA, speaking with Studio 7's Gabes Dube from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, USA.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe cricket captain Elton Chigumbura has thrown in the towel but says he will continue to play for the national team. Chigumbura stepped down during the recently ended cricket tour in Bangladesh. Hamilton Masakaza is currently the acting captain. Sports analyst Muzuwetu Hadebe says the resignation signals deeper issues within Zimbabwe cricket which needs to be addressed urgently.
Basically, I think when people seem to have lost faith in your leadership, I think that's the few options that you have to quit. And he has done just that. But I think the problem is bigger than just the captain. We have seen the change of coaches. We have seen the change of the leadership, but it has remained the same. We will just wait and see in terms of the new appointments. And we see what will happen. But it is at that stage that you make those changes at a time that gives the rest of the team the confidence. And we certainly hope that it will go that way. But it is important, again, for Zimbabwe cricket to address the real challenges that the game is facing.
Who is likely to take over from Chigumbura, judging from how the team has been playing so far?
Yeah, well, very difficult to say at the moment. We all know that Hamilton has been in an acting capacity for the rest of the tour in Bangladesh, and I think he has done a decent job. But one would prefer a young captain who will grow up with the team, one citing the example of South Africa when they appointed Graham Smith. Then he was young, but he went on to shine for the Proteas. So it's very important for Zimbabwe also to have that in mind. I think in terms of age, Masakaza age is not on his side, so that might be tricky in my view.
That was sports analyst Muzuwetu Hadebe in Bulawayo.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about human rights issues in Zimbabwe.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Human Rights Watch says Zimbabwe is among countries that continue to narrow political space for voices critical to the government.
And a Zimbabwean challenges the constitutionality of life imprisonment.
That's our broadcast this evening. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington saying good night.